I'm glad God's good. Amen. He's not good just sometime. He's good all the time. Amen. And I don't deserve anything He's ever given me. I sure don't deserve any mercy. I sure don't deserve any grace. I don't deserve any long suffering. But all that is given to us by God, and it's given to us freely. And I thank Him for it this morning. He's been so good to me, I couldn't even count the many blessings. A lot of people say, go to bed at night and count your blessings. I don't know where to start. He's been so good to me at my home. I'm glad that God is, I want to center my life around Him. And I want to center my home around Him. If you got your Bible this morning, be turning to Revelation chapter number 3. I'm glad God gives us grace. I'm still thinking about that song that was sung. Today we're going to be looking at a very familiar passage. And I want you to think about this passage of Scripture here as it relates to the church. And God was speaking in Revelation to the church age. And I believe we're in the Laodicean church age. I believe that's the church age that we're in. That's the last church age before this church is raptured out of this world. And if you're here after the rapture take place, I feel for you. So now is the dressing room for eternity. Now is the time to get right. Now is the accepted day of salvation. We'll begin reading in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 14. It says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, and that angel is the messenger. Thank God we have a messenger, and he's the pastor. And there's only one pastor here, and he's the head for this body here. And we know the head of that is Christ. It says that these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I wot that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that thou shame of thy nakedness did not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And here it is. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here in the book of Revelation, you'll find seven church ages. We find this one's written to the Laodiceans. The word Laodicean is called the people's opinion. I always call it this. I call it the Burger King church. The people want it their way. I went by two churches yesterday on my way to LaGrange and on my way back to Anniston. And, you know, I had to do some business and to take care of my car. I needed some tires. But I saw this on two church signs. One of them was on my way to LaGrange. I saw it said, Sunday, come by. We had dinner and a movie. And then on my way back to Anniston, I saw one on Sunday night that said they're having the garden in Sunday night. I'm telling you, we're here for the Word of God. And if the Word of God doesn't get you fired up, I don't know what will. The Word of God, we come into places today where preaching doesn't move people. Because they've turned from the power of God and leaned toward man's performance. And if we're only here for man's performance, we're here for nothing. We know gas today is probably about $4 a gallon, so if you come here for man's performance, we wasted a lot of money to get here. I want to thank Him for all He's done for me. I want you to look, first of all, and you'll find I picked this up from somewhere. Today there are nearly 25,000 denominations. And in the U.S. alone, there's nearly 800. So there's a lot of people that believe a lot of different things. But I tell you what I want to believe. I want to believe what the Bible says. And I do believe the Baptist faith is the closest to what the Bible says. I want us to look, first of all, at the church and its state. The church and its state. The Laodicean church. This is what God wrote to him. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I wot thou were cold or hot. I tell you what God did. He took His Holy Ghost thermometer and He stuck it down in that church and He said, what's your temperature here? And I want you to think of each one of you today. If God were to take His Holy Ghost thermometer and stick it in your life, where would you be on that scale? Would you be cold or would you be hot or would you be right in the middle of it? Think about that. See, the church is only as strong as our homes. If your home's wrong, the church is wrong. If my home's wrong, I can't have church. And I've come to church in that state before, and I tell you what, it's hard to worship. You know, and the preacher says sometimes you worship on credit. Well, sometimes I come to church and I don't even got the card for the credit. You know, so we got to be careful with that. You got to be careful with what you come to church with, because you bring it in here. God may be wanting to use you. This church at Laodicea, and they found their state that God had took that thermometer and put it right on them, and He said found them right in the middle. And as I look across the people I work with, when I look across churches today, I'll tell you where I see the state of the churches in this Laodicean church age. They're not cold, they're not hot, but they're right in the middle. And they're straddling that fence of which way to go. And you may be here today, and you may be in a crossroads in your life of which way you'd go, whether you'd be cold or hot. I tell you, you better go to the hot side. But God said He'd rather be cold than be right in the middle. This is what He did. You'll see, first of all, their temperature. Secondly, you'll see their danger. If you'll look here, it says, so then, verse 16 says, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This church had a danger. And the danger was that God was going to withdraw Himself. We'll see later on, you'll find Him. He wasn't in the church house, but He was in the back. And He was knocking on the door, wanting them to let Him in. And this church had a great danger. God said, I spew thee out of my mouth. And an old country boy turns, that means He'll puke you up. He'll throw you up. You know, and I found myself that I have to watch myself with this verse, because I find myself, I won't be cold and I won't be hot, but I'll be right in the middle. And I have to be careful with my own self. I'm teaching to myself this morning, because here we are. You know, no doubt the devil's going to come against you. He's going to come against your home. He's going to come against you. He's going to tell you everybody in this church didn't love you. He's going to tell you your pastor don't love you. He's going to tell you your Sunday school teacher don't love you. He's going to tell you your wife don't love you. He's going to tell you your husband don't love you. He's going to tell you your kids don't love you. Everybody that you ever loved. The devil's going to try to bring in a little creep hole in there and get in there to where he tells people that you're not loved and you're not needed. And I'm going to tell you, each one of you, as I look across this audience this morning, I'm going to tell you, you're needed here. Everybody's needed. But see, God is forming a body, and He's fitting it. And the Bible said He has set the members that they have pleased Him. And that word set means as if you've got a ring on your finger, and it's a jewel that was put down in there. And God has set it in there. And each one of you are set in this church this morning as if it were a jewel. And the great jeweler had set you together in here. Their danger. Turn back to verse number 4. I want to get one verse there. Just hold your place. We'll be there very shortly. Jude, verse number 3. It says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude was writing there about apostasy. And I tell you where our churches are today. They're in a state of apostasy. And that word apostasy means, all it means is a falling away from. In that verse 3 there, it said that we ought to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And when I think of any time of contending, I think of a boxer. And he's always contending for his belt. You know, and I'm going to tell you, this church thing is a fight. It's a fight. And you can lose the fight. And it's in my heart to finish this thing right. It's in my heart to finish right. And no matter what I do, I want to finish this thing right. And you know, and not only do I want to finish right, I want to do right today. And today may be my last day. It may be 50 years from now, but I tell you what I want to do. I want to find myself doing right, what the Bible says. Jude said, we need to contend for the faith what was once delivered unto the saints. He said there's certain men crept in unawares. And I thought about that a lot of times, you know, that I sat in churches. I got saved April 8, 1998. This Friday, I've been saved 13 years, and I was rejoicing in that. 13 years ago from last Friday, I got saved. You know, and I thought about that. And I thought about how I put my own life. Have I been contending for the faith for those 13 years? You know, because this thing is a personal thing. You know, I'd love to teach you, and I'll do my best to teach you, but until it becomes personal to you, you'll never do it. You'll never do it. This gospel is written for individuals. You see, I can't take my son and take him into heaven on my faith, because he's given each one of us the own measure of faith. The church and the state, they had a great danger, they had a great punishment. You know, and this is where our world is today. And first, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Kings 18:21, it was talking about Elijah and Baal. It said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him." That's where this Laodicean church age found themselves. You know, if he be God, follow him, but if he be Baal, follow him. That's the confusion of our church age that we live in. They don't know who to follow because the churches don't have any power on them anymore. The churches have turned from their own power and looked for man's performance. The church and its state. Secondly, the church and its speech. Look here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and had need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." And as I looked in this, and I noticed this church had, they said that they was, you know, that they said, "Because thou sayest, I'm rich." You know, our church don't need money. I want you to think about that for a second. You know, everybody today thrives off money. It's time we, the church, quit letting the world tell us who's successful, and us in the church tell people they're successful. I'll tell you who's the successful people today. It's not the people that's got all the money. It's not all the people that's got all the homes, the cars, the lands, the buildings. I tell you who it is. It's the man and the woman who's got his children in church, and he's teaching them the Word of God. He's down praying. Those are the successes. Those are the people we ought to look up to. Those are the people that we ought to grab hold to and say, "That's my hero." That man is always at church. But I tell you, our world has a standard that all they believe in is money. And they believe that money moves the world. But if you may lose all your money tonight. And it would be very easy for you to lose all your money tonight. Very easy. But I tell you what you're going to be left with. You're going to be left with your family. And that's where your successes are. You know, a lot of people today, that's all they believe in. I've sat in meetings with people in tables as long as this room. And all those people looked up and all their pride. You know, and all of a sudden they're saying, "Praise God." You know, the successes of this world. Quit letting the world tell you who's successful. Let the church tell you who's successful. The church in its peace. This church said that because thou sayest, "I'm rich and increased with goods." See, they didn't have need. They didn't have no need. I wonder if you're here today needy. See, I came to church today needy. I came needy. But see, if you didn't come here needy, guess what? You're not going to get anything. Because the church is not here, you know, just for people to come into and say, "I was here at church on Sunday." I believe we'll get into that. That's where the Laodicean church age, the people find themselves. They say, "Hey, I went to church Sunday. Well, did you get anything? Did it change your life? Did it do anything for you? Did you see somebody get saved?" That's where we need to be in. We need to come to church with anticipation. See, if you don't anticipate, you won't do any participating. You see, church doesn't start. I used to do my homework that my teacher would give me. You know, when I do it, in homeroom. I'd sit down and say, I wait till the last minute. I say, "I get this thing done in homeroom, and I'll turn it in. I'll just turn that thing in." You know, and I believe that's the way church is. A lot of people wait till the last minute and say, "Oh, we'll get down and pray right before we go to church." But I tell you where your homework at church starts. It doesn't start on Sunday. It starts on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's an all-day thing. See, God saved me. He didn't say, "Oh, you can be a Christian on Sunday, but the rest of the days you're okay. You can do what you want to." It starts all through the week. It starts all through the month. It starts through the years. It's not just, "Hey, I'll be here on Sunday, and I came to church on Sunday." A lot of people get in the state, they say, I go to church Sunday morning, I go Sunday night, I go Wednesday night, I'm good. But I tell you what, you could come here every Sunday morning, you come here every Sunday night, you come here every Wednesday night, and you could be so far out in the world that your mind is so shot that you, by the time you get to church, you don't know anything. I tell you, this is a daily thing. It's a daily walk. This church at Laodicea had found themselves in that walk. They found themselves saying they was rich. But here's what they said. But listen to what Jesus said. He follows up that verse. He gives a part B in that verse in verse 17. He says, "Knowest not thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." See, your thoughts may not be Jesus' thoughts. See, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. He told these people, said, "Hey, I'm rich, and I have and I'm increased with goods. We got everything. Everything's going well. Our power bill's paid. Everything like that is paid, and have need of nothing." And then Jesus comes in and started this in the second part. "And knowest not thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." So your thoughts may not be what Jesus thinks. We need to go with His thoughts. We need to go with His ways. You'll see their speech. Thirdly, you'll see their substitutes. And I thought about this because my grandmother, she lived out in the country a lot of times, and she had a well, and it wasn't just a well like you see today. She had an old hand-dug well. And when you run a glass of water out of her faucet, it wasn't just clear, crystal clear water in that thing. You know what it was? It had a bunch of mud in it. But I remember my grandmother, what she did, she'd take some lemonade, and she wouldn't use that Splenda. She wouldn't use Equal. She poured that thing full of sugar. And she used real lemons in that thing. She didn't have no Crystal Light. She had the real lemons. When you got through drinking, you had the seeds in your mouth. You know, that kind of thing. You know? But today, our world has accepted substitutes rather than the real thing. I'm glad we're in a church with the real thing. I'm glad we got a real man of God. I'm glad we got a real church to go to. This church at Laodicea, they accepted substitutes. They had used all the Splenda. They'd used all the Equal. They'd used all whatever they make, you know, and got away from that old pure cane patch sugar, you know, and turned themselves from it. And therefore, they wasn't getting any help in their church, and they had need of nothing. I wrote this down. It said they had learning and took it for religion. They had gifts and they took them for grace. They had wit and they took it for true wisdom. They had their own ordinance and they forsook the ordinance that God had made them to walk in. And then he said they were wretched. They were wretched and so proud of themselves, yet they were so pitied by all that knew their case. They were poor. They were rich in temporal things, yet that fadeth away. Yet their souls were sent leanness. Their souls were starving in the midst of their abundance. Their souls were starving in the midst of their abundance. I'm telling you, God's got some of you in a place where in a place of starving, so He can use you later on down the road. A lot of times we can't figure out why we're walking through the things we walk through, but God's got a greater plan. And a lot of times we don't know His plan. We don't know everything that God couldn't reveal everything to us at one time. But God said here, He sent them. You know, their souls were starving in the midst of their abundance. This verse right here came up to my mind in Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 19. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." I wonder where your treasure is this morning. Think about that for a second. Where's your treasure? The Bible says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And there's been times that I've been praying on Saturday night, and I can see ourselves try to imagine what's going to go on the next morning. You know what that is? That's seeing treasures beforehand. You know, seeing things ahead. A lot of people are laying up treasures on this earth, you know, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to rust away. They're going to rust away. The Lord's going to come back. They're going to be burned up. And you're going to be left with no treasures up in heaven. They're substitutes. They substituted fake things for the real things. They substituted temporal things for permanent things. And you can never do that. It always leaves. They said they was blind. They could not see their way nor their danger. The very light that was in them was darkness. They said they was naked. Their righteousness was as filthy rags, and they were exposed to sin and shame because they had no covering of sanctification. They could not come to the wedding because they had no wedding garment. That's where we find our churches today in the Laodicean church age. And the last thing I'll talk about today is, so you see the church in its state, the church in its feast, the church in its substitution. And the last thing is the church in its separation. Look down in verse number 20 there. It said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." The church in its separation. That church was in a sad state. They had took Jesus and they said, "Jesus once met with us here." And I imagine all these churches, you know, I passed many churches and I said, I remember when God used to move in that church there. I remember when God used to move in that church there. I remember when God used to move in that church right there. But I tell you what's happened. They've taken God out of the middle of the church. And they sat him on the outside. And he's standing there at the back door doing this. And I tell you what they're not doing. They won't open the door and let him in. They'd rather turn to man's programs. They'd rather turn to what man can do rather than what God can do. And that's a sad state when we find ourselves in that. The Bible says this. There's two things here. It's a church and a separation. You'll see that, first of all, that he's a path that you can turn to. A path that you can turn to. Book of Proverbs, chapter number 22 and verse number 28 says this. It says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." You know, it's a sad day when if I were to dig my granddaddy up or somebody that's older than me, you know, and they bring him back and say, "Hey, look at these churches today." You know what he'd say? I don't even know what to think of. Paul in his day, you know, he thought the Lord was coming back in his day. I wonder what he'd think today if he was walking on this earth and see what's going on out here in this world, see what's going on in our churches. Our churches is the worst thing to think about. Because, see, the church is supposed to be different from the world. No, he's a path that you can turn to. Secondly, he's a promise that you can bank on. And I'll leave you one last verse, and it's found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. It says this, "If judgment begin at the house of God, what shall the end of those that do not obey the gospel of Christ?" If judgment begin at the house of God, that's always hit home with me, you know, because there's a verse over in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter number 37 and verse number 3. It says this. I hope God one day will give me a message out of it. It said the children are come forth to the birth, and there's not strength to bring them forth. The children are come forth to the birth, and there's not strength to bring them forth. I wonder where our churches are today. If you put that verse right there in perspective, I want God to give me a message out of there one day about that verse. But that's where many of our churches find themselves today. They find themselves that the God has withdrawn himself from them, not but because God didn't change. I'm going to tell you, God didn't change. I'll tell you who changed. We did. The people has changed. If judgment again at the house of God, what shall be the end of those? Be the end of those that do not obey the gospel of Christ. God, you'll see God here is speaking to his church. He's speaking to us in this book. This last chapter of the book, the Revelation chapter number 3, he's speaking to the Laodicean church. He's speaking to us today. You know, where we find ourselves. You see, he's a promise you can bank on. But they did have a promise. He was standing at the door knocking. All they had to do was go open him in. And I want you to think about it. Don't think of it as a church today. Think of it as yourself. I wonder if you separated yourself from Jesus today, and he's standing at the door knocking, saying, "I want to be in your life. I want to manifest myself in your life. I want to do things in your life that's special only to you. I want to be there for you." Think about that. That's all I got this morning. Thank y'all. Y'all dismissed.